Wizzes, welcome to episode 236 of the Food Biz Wiz podcast. We're back with another episode for Women's History Month, highlighting women-owned and founded businesses that we've come to know and love inside of our Retail Ready program. I'm so proud of these women who are building businesses that work for them. And today you're going to meet one of my very favorite people, Tanya Farman, the CEO and co-founder of Queen of Hearts. If you don't already know Tanya or Queen of Hearts, they make the world's first sustainable salad dressing, truly sustainable, made with hemp seeds. Prior to working in food, Tanya founded and ran a nonprofit that helps young adults get their lives back after cancer. She was the recipient of multiple awards for her work, including Self Magazine's Women Doing Good Awards and the Livestrong Young Adult Cancer Impact Award. Her work with food and health outcomes in cancer survivors inspired Tanya to start Queen of Hearts and have a positive impact on our food system. I can't wait for you to listen to our conversation today. I've been so lucky to know Tanya for years now, and I'm so excited for you, our listeners, to hear all about how she has built Queen of Hearts with such a personal story, with her values, and with thoughtfulness along the way. So here we are in March, in the middle of Women's History Month. Tanya is a prime example of someone who has made their business work for them and such an example of a badass woman who is leading a new way in our industry. Let's pause briefly for our intro and then we will get right back to our conversation.
I'm Allie Ball, former grocery buyer and retail store manager turned wholesale consultant. In my role on the retail floor, I saw delicious, values-driven brands fail on our shelves simply because they didn't understand the behind-the-scenes of wholesale. I created the Food Biz Wiz podcast to give you hard-to-access insight from my career in the food industry and the tools and strategies to help you succeed on retail shelves. If you're a committed food founder who's looking to create and grow a packaged products business that positively impacts our food system, puts wealth back into your own hands, and employs members of your local community, you have found the right podcast. Let's do this.
Before we get further in the episode, I've got a free resource that builds on today's show. It's the mini version of my reorder checklist. We all know it's one thing to land on a new retail shelf, and it's a whole other thing to make sure you're selling through once you're there. In my mini reorder checklist, you'll learn the key ways to onboard a new retailer so that you're much, much more likely to get those reorders coming in fast. Grab the Cliff Notes version of our reorder checklist in our show notes, or if you're a Retail Ready student who's listening, find our long form version and our training directly on our course platform. Hi, Tanya. Welcome to the Food Biz Wiz podcast.
Thanks, Allie. Appreciate it.
I'm so happy to have you here. I feel like this is a long time coming, and I'm really eager for our listeners to hear from you, to hear about how you built your business and what you're up to now in, year five? Where are you in your business?
Well, it's technically year six, but I say that I kind of restarted the business after COVID with a new product line. That's where things started.
True. Okay. So I actually went into our Retail Ready records. And I don't know if you know this, Tanya, but you joined Retail Ready in January of 2020. So before we knew what was coming for us that year. So do you remember where your business was in January 2020 when we first started working together?
Oh, yeah. I was green and very eager to learn. Mm-hmm. It felt like 10 years ago, really now. My business was in a place of growth, but not really the kind of growth that in hindsight I should have gone after, because I was working in basically hemp seeds, our original product and our original ingredient. I didn't even have our salad dressings out. And that line really changed everything. So in my business, I look back, it hadn't even begun yet. Really, nothing really got started for me until about 2021.
Isn't that wild how we, I'm sure you were proud of things in your business in 2020, right? And you had beautiful packaging. You had that line of hemp seeds. Like, you know, you had a legitimate packaged product business. Mm-hmm. And you're in this level 201 or this phase 301. Here we are 4 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about pivot.
Yeah. So if someone's never heard about you, they're like, who is Tanya? What is Queen of Hearts? Can you give us the high level of who you are? Maybe where do you live and what do you produce at this point?
Yeah. Well, my name is Tanya Farman and I'm with Queen of Hearts. And that's my, that has been my business from the beginning in 2018. I live in a little town called White Salmon, Washington, in the Columbia River Gorge region, right across from Oregon. And we make hemp seed-based dressings and products, all from that wonderful little heart of the hemp seed that is so nutrient-dense and fantastic. I dove into food after experiencing a world with cancer survivors, really. It's my work for 13 years before I got into food and witnessing the toxicities of the food system. And I dove into food really seeking ingredients and products that didn't compromise on nutrient density, process, or environmental impact. And that's how I got into hemp seeds, because I was really looking for something that was as good for our health as the health of our soils and that we grew domestically and could be a true superfood for a variety of products.
So you had no experience in the world of packaged food.
No.
Your background was in nonprofits, right? Cancer, working in the world of cancer survivors and supporting there. And you decided, if I'm saying this correctly, you decided that our food system was broken or needed something different. And so you decided to launch a food business.
Yeah. And it really, wow. So I just had no idea what I was doing. My family had a pickle business many, many decades ago, my grandfather. And I remember when my dad told me that I was crazy for getting into food, I just blew him off. I'm like, Dad, I got this. I've done many other things. I've started other businesses and a nonprofit. I got this. But I had no idea how hard it would be.
Fair enough. Okay, so here you are in year six in your business. What do things look like now?
Well, it has evolved and changed, and I have had to really roll with that change. Obviously, COVID affected a lot of that, but I was already thinking before COVID that I may need to make a move a little differently from what I was doing. The ingredients-based world of food is very price-driven. And, you know, you've probably heard of commodities. And that's when ingredients they exist on their own as a product that people look and shop for based on price. So yeah. You know, rice or wheat, flours, those kinds of items. Hemp seeds were really part of that. And I looked at hemp seeds and I just said, you know, it is really hard to make a living in a business with just hemp seeds.
Yeah.
What can I do with this incredible little ingredient that can really be a value add in other products? And I have always been the one to be asked to bring the salad to the party. I'm always the one that makes the salads. And I really already was making my own dressings with hemp seeds because it was just so nutrient dense. And it was also a really great base. And it just came quick. I dove right in. And I said, that's what we have to make is we got to make a salad dressing that uses hemp seeds and the hemp seed protein and the oil. So it uses the whole hemp seed, makes up about 30% of our dressings. So it's just super nutrient dense. Wow. And really flavorful. So
I've got a question that's like a little bit off track here, but it seems like the appropriate time to ask. I feel like seed oils get a bad rap, and every other, you know, healthy influencer on TikTok is trash talking seed oils. Yeah. Do you get that pushback as well? And what's your take on that?
Yeah, I do sometimes demos. And you know, you get the best feedback and input when you are talking to customers. And I really appreciate the perception and the input and the feedback from them. So I started hearing this about a year ago, mm-hmm. About seed oils. We use an organic expeller press, high oleic sunflower oil as another oil that complements our hemp seed oil in our dressings. It's a really fantastic oil because the cold press or expeller press is a process that is a mechanical process that basically crushes the seeds mm-hmm. and results in that oil. So you're extruding the oil from the oil seed. There's a lot of processes that have become the norm for commercialization of food and food products and food service to make everything faster, right? So a lot of these seeds, soybean, canola, even sunflower, are getting processed with heat, chemicals, butane to expedite the process and also make it a more stable oil for such things as fried foods. So they use a lot of these oils for fried foods. That is when seed oils get a bad rap, is when those oils get processed via the chemical process or a high commercialization process, and then they get further processed and used into these fryers that are just continues to convert those healthy fats to trans fats. And every time those oils get used, like in a fryer, for instance, those oils are just worse and worse. And that's where it's getting a bad rap for seed oil.
Gotcha. Okay. So if I hear you correctly, if we're using that cold press, those cold press oils, if we're actually intentional about the sourcing of our oils and how they're processed, and we're not consuming those commodity oils, right? The oils that are processed for efficiency and probably for price as well, right? That yeah. This actually is not really the like scary issue that the internet is making it.
Yeah. And I know it's a tough one to fight too, because there's a lot of influencers that paint this broad stroke and a lot of them don't even know. They're just sharing what they've been told or what they saw on the internet from the last influencer. So there's a lot of context around that. And it is a conversation worth asking questions about and having curiosity around, because it's not as simple as saying all seed oils are bad for you. Our seed oils, our hemp seed oil is cold pressed. It is about the most old-fashioned mechanical method you could use to crush oil seed that's been around for centuries, and there's no water, there's no chemicals around. It's purely just a press that crushes the seeds, and then it's pulling out those oils. We have some residual seed cake from it, and that oil that comes out freshly pressed from a cold or expeller press is about as pure and healthy as you can get if you start with a healthy oil seed. So gotcha. Sunflower seeds, as we all know, is a really healthy seed. And when you're crushing for the oil with a cold press method, it can be equally as healthy. Same with our hemp seed.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for educating us. Okay, so before this turns into a health-focused podcast, let me bring you back. And Tanya, can I ask you some rapid-fire questions just about your business to get a lay of the land for our listeners?
Sure.
Okay. You can say like yes or no, or like a sentence answer here. Do you grow your own hemp seeds?
No, I am not a farmer. I'll kill it.
Great. Okay, so you are not a farmer. You're not growing your own products here.
Awesome. A better job.
Great. Do you use a co-packer or are you producing the product in your own commercial kitchen?
We currently produce our own here in the Dalles, Oregon.
Awesome. Okay. Do you use a distributor?
We have a regional distributor, yes, and just one right now.
Okay. Awesome. Do you have a broker?
I don't right now. I did, but I don't. And that's part of our next conversation.
Okay, awesome. I think that's it on the rapid fire. What else about your business is that like one sentence thing that people need to know to get a lay of the land?
I think we covered it. I would just say I'm very regionally distributed right now in the Pacific Northwest and a little bit in California. And we do use Fair as well for getting products across the country. But for distribution, we're just regional.
Great. And I've got one last question. You can answer it or we can cut it from the script. Tanya, do you have outside investors?
No.
Or are you self-funded?
Self-funded. Bootstrap, baby.
Awesome. Okay, great. Thank you for being transparent there. I think it's helpful for our listeners to get a sense of how the business works so they can understand some of your decision-making and what role you're playing in the day-to-day of your business. So Tanya, around this theme, for Women's History Month, we're doing this series of episodes around building a business that works for you. And you came to mind as someone who had to come on our podcast and talk about this because I've really admired the way that you have, over the years that I've known you, made decisions for yourself and for what is right for you and what's right for the business. So from a high level, can we talk a little bit about what it means for you to build a business that works for you?
Yeah. Well, I will say that it's changed and it took a while to get here. I started with such a mission-driven, ideal, purpose-driven idea of building a food business. And I initially thought that I could build a food business that could educate and inspire people to eat better for their health and for the health of the planet. But as you know, Allie, it takes so much more than just making a great product, right?
Yeah. And more than just having a great mission too, right? I think that can be the challenge where you're like, but I'm doing so much good. Like I have such a clear mission. Like, shouldn't people want to get behind this mission?
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be your personal mission, but, how to communicate that with the people that you want to care, and then you want them to buy your product because of that. That is a very complicated and much harder effort, really. So learning how to do that. And I'm still learning. I will say I've not found the Holy Grail. This is an ongoing learning process. But what happened last year is I hit a wall. My health was suffering from hustling and working too hard in this business. And you know me, I will keep going. I am not afraid of hard work. And I just did that. I hustled. And the more I hustled, the more accounts I opened. And I had a broker and I was excited and things were moving. But then I realized that I couldn't keep up with that effort. And it was crazy. I mean, I was active. I ate really well. I had adrenal fatigue, which I had never heard of before. I had severe tendonitis. I had shoulder and lower back pain. I was exhausted and I didn't have the mental or physical capacity to keep going at that rate.
Yeah. So, what was it like for you to have that realization?
Well, it was relieving, but it was also really scary because I knew that what I had to do to make changes was going to be big. It was going to have to be a really big change. I started reading a lot of books on quitting and decision-making. I dove into journaling and reflecting really hard, like things I just don't normally do because
I was going to say you came around on the journaling.
Yes.
This is something I'm pushing everybody to journal all the time, but okay. You came around on the journaling.
It makes a big difference too.
It does. You read books.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I had to sit with where I was because my body just couldn't take it anymore. And some people, they feel stress in different ways. They're, they have headaches, or they have migraines, or they get really anxious and angry. For me, my body physically took it. Mentally, I kept going. My heart kept going, but my body was just like, pissed off. So I had to pause and say, I need to make a big change or I can't keep going in this business. And it was really November and December. Thankfully, I had downtime in the business to think about these things. And also I looked to a number of sources, like I said, I read books, but I had to really dig deep and look into my makeup, what my strengths are, and what I was willing to do moving forward.
What did you discover?
Yeah, well, there's three key things. And I kind of want to make a point of this because they're very poignant. One was going back to my why. And I know this is said a lot, it's like a cliche, but it's so important because we all need purpose to get up every day, right? And for some people, it's money and freedom. For others, it's mission-driven. Some of my peers in the food business who are many years and millions of dollars ahead of me, they said, you have to enjoy this because it doesn't get any easier. It changes, doesn't get easier. And as you know, during COVID, things got a lot harder. For us, it was a bit of a roller coaster, but I had to figure out if I was honoring my why, like why I got into this. And if I wasn't, why wasn't I? And that purpose is the one thing that would get me through the lows in the business. And I had to figure out if I could make a business still focused on why I got into this, which was for healthier people and healthier planet using a healthier ingredient. Mm-hmm. So all that being said, it really was a mindset. So the other piece is I had to review my strengths. So I'm a big fan of Strengths Finders. There's other different tests out there. I really recommend people take one of these Strengths Finders tests because
we can put them in the show notes. We can put the Colby Strengths Finders that you're referencing?
This one's Gallup, I think.
Oh, the Gallup. Yes. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. And but they really help you determine areas to lean in and leverage for personal and professional excellence. And when you use your strengths, things flow. When you don't, you hit walls. And I realize I'm hitting so many walls. I don't even know who I am right now. Let me go back to my strengths. And I had a coach help me many, many years ago with that Strengths Finder process. And you look at those strengths, and I'll just tell you a couple of mine was positivity, activator, and belief. And those right there, I wasn't using. And I had to really think, oh my gosh, how do I use my strengths for this business and move forward in a way that is leveraging those strengths to make the business and my personal life awesome? And I wasn't doing that. And so that was a really big moment for me, was reviewing.
What is something that you thought was a strength of yours, but actually was working against you?
Oh, well, I'll 100% say activator. It is. And that's the thing with each of your strengths is there's pros and cons to each. But as an activator, you get things done and you move forward and you're productive, but you might not be actually making progress, but you're very productive. And I was good at that. I was good at doing and keeping busy. And I have shifted that mindset in a way that has worked for me. So I'm working
on it. Gotcha. Okay. So step number one for you was figuring out your why. Mm-hmm. Step number two was finding your strengths.
Yeah. Yep.
What was the third piece?
I say, saying no and letting go.
Say no and letting go. What does that look like?
So for me, it was actually the first thing I knew I could do because it's mindset and logistics, right? But I couldn't take on any more accounts. I had the interest. I mean, we got into, this bougie Southern California retailer that everyone's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you got into there. And I said, no, because I I didn't have the resources to truly support that business. And that was the first one that I said no to. And then there are all these other carrots and shiny objects along the way that are really expected in this business, right? So, you know, people are like, oh, are you going to get into Costco or Target or blah, blah, blah? Are you going to go national? No, I turned down so much business in 2023 because it didn't make sense for my business. I couldn't support those accounts. And I, of course, was feeling it. I'm sure you're familiar with the Pareto principle.
Tell our listeners.
So the Pareto principle is 80% of your outcomes come from 20% of your causes or your work. So in that case, in this case for me, 80% of our revenue came from 20% of our accounts, essentially. I didn't realize that until I analyzed our sales. I mean, just so nitty gritty. And then sure enough, it was accurate. So now instead of just trying to tally up accounts, like you're trying to get points on a scoreboard, right? I'm really diligent about which accounts I bring on and seek out really retail partners that are the best fit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear that, Tanya, because I think in our industry, we see other people out there, right? On social media or, you know, literally on retail shelves. And it's like, oh, such and such got Whole Foods Global. This person got into Erewhon. This person is in Costco. This person got 800 new doors in 2023. And I always stop and pause and think, okay, yeah, but like, how are they doing in those accounts? What's their profit margin like? How's their emotional state? How are their relationships outside of work?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't support them logistically, and I couldn't support them with myself. I couldn't put my heart into those accounts. And now I can go into these accounts with more confidence and enthusiasm to help them succeed. That's what I'm intentional about. And I love that. You know, when people always want to, they ask you, how many accounts are you in? And it's like this, you know, it's like this metric that we have somehow created as a point of success, which is really false. And we really need to dial it back and focus on what are the metrics and the accounts and the pieces of our business that have the most impact overall. And that's what I'm really going for.
Yeah, it's really interesting where my brain's going as you say this is whenever we talk about Retail Ready and people are considering joining the program, one of the questions we get most often is, well, how many accounts can you help me get? How many accounts did past students get after working with you, right? And Tanya, I'll admit here on the podcast, like I'll tell them, right? Like I'll give them, I'll say the numbers they want to hear, right? Like I'll be like, okay, cool. You want 100 new accounts? Like, yeah, we'll help you get 100 new accounts. Because that's what people at this point, I think, people still want that promise and people want to hear those numbers. But I always put a little asterisk with it that's like, but at the end of the day, we all know it doesn't matter, right? What matters is your velocity. What matters is your profit margin. So what impact did it have on you, both on the business and on you personally, to say no and let it go?
Oh, it's so freeing. It's really allowed me to shed a ton of stress, first of all. And it's allowed me to support my customers so much more and really be focused on what can help them succeed and us, of course. Like, I really think that it, you know, how do we make this work for both of us? You always said, Allie, like, you know, you pitch to a retailer in a way that is selling to what works for them, like what helps them succeed. Of course, it took many years for me to understand that, but now I can truly go into these pitches or meetings like category reviews and really be working toward something, a strategy that works for both. And also knowing that, my gosh, since COVID, these grocery stores have lost their labor force. They have high turnover, and approaching those calls with a sense of empathy and understanding has really worked for me, because I get a lot of information back, a lot of data back from buyers. And that's also very valuable, that helps you make decisions in your business.
Yeah, I've seen you really build your business off of relationships and partnerships rather than just, you know, chasing that next milestone or success metric.
Yeah. I think that also, that is one of my strengths, and I do lean into that, but also I had no money. I still, you know, I'm bootstrapped. When you don't have resources, you get creative. And that was one way I could show up and really make deeper connections with people, because I had nothing to lose. Yeah. And I still don't. I think showing up is so important, because you learn so much from these other people, and you show up with a sense of curiosity, you will get so much back in return. It might be years down the road that you'll realize that.
Yeah. I think one of the challenges that people have with dialing back or saying no is exactly what you just articulated. Like, if I say no, it's one, you know, it's a, you know, 10 fewer accounts that I have this quarter, or, you know, it's going to negatively impact my revenue if I don't keep saying yes to accounts. Can we talk about numbers here, Tanya, as much as you are comfortable, right? Like, what do the numbers look like now that you're saying no more, and how has that changed over the past year?
Well, I didn't really go in hard with my new mindset until about December.
Okay. So just a few months ago. So you're in your first full quarter of no and let go.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, I had to let go of the opportunities for new accounts back in the fall, because I literally couldn't produce enough product for them. But we are looking for a co-packer to partner with us and to help us with that. But it's funny. It has still, our growth has been really slow, but gradual. We're in a lull right now because this is typically our slowest time of year. And then March through September is pretty wild. So we will see, but this is going to sound kind of woo-woo, but I really trust that the outcomes will be there in the numbers because of the energy shift. And we'll see. I love looking at data, and it was really the data I analyzed in 2023 that helped get me to this point. So that's another thing, is I ask for data every opportunity I have, whether it's from buyers or a distributor or even a webinar. People have data. They're sitting on data, and it's really expensive to buy. So it's nice to ask for it when you can.
Yeah. What's next for you?
Oh boy. Well, I am going into this mindset and working on the business that works for me, really with a attitude of it's going to work out. I'm going to trust that it's going to work out. And I'm actually working a bit less because of the hustle culture. I've removed that hustling from my world. And that's hard for me, hustling less, saying no. I'm a yes person. I'm a people pleaser. So that is a challenge. I have to be very disciplined about it. So I am working on a lot of things right now. I'm working on discipline. I'm working on consistency. And also with the knowing that things might change, and I will embrace the change, but I just need to be able to do it with the idea that I can't go back to what it was. I will not go back to that. Mm. So that, you know, I'm not saying it's perfect now, right? I'm just sinking into it. But it can't ever go back to what it was. And I just can't share this enough with other founders, and especially new founders, because I'm pretty sure I'd heard this before. I know that it got really bad during COVID, but you would hear people say, I'm just exhausted. I can't do this anymore. And you go through that honeymoon phase of your business, the early years of the business where you're adding accounts, everything's fun. You know, things are pretty affordable still. And then it gets to this lull, this place where you're like, oh my gosh, I am exhausted. I can't do this anymore. And you kind of have to make some big decisions. And I think that everyone gets to that point at some point. And that's where I was last fall. And I feel like I can only go up from there.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you're coming on the podcast and talking about that. I see it all the time, right? I see it in Retail Ready. I see it with my one-on-one clients. I know that hustle culture is real, right? We all know this by now. But I think it's really hard to recognize, and I'm curious about this for you, Tanya. I find that it's hard for folks to recognize when they are in hustle mode, yeah, and when they're just, sprinting in the business. So is there something that you have used, some sort of barometer for you to assess when it shifts, makes that like deadly switch into hustle mode rather than just building the biz and sprinting in the biz?
Oh, good question. I felt like I was spread really thin, mm, and I was also dropping a lot of balls. I didn't have a pulse on my business. I was excited that we were opening new accounts, but then I looked at everything and I looked at my numbers because, again, we're self-funded. And I said that I just logistically can't support this. I mean, it's interesting when you grow into distribution, you have to have a plan to financially support that. And for us, I didn't really know what exactly that meant until I was in it. And I realized quickly, and I had a broker that was doing a great job. They were opening accounts. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't support it with the operations, the production side. It's the whole package.
Yes.
You really have to have the whole package. It's not like you can just open accounts and hope you can support them, because you might be able to support them with demos, but do you have enough product? Or you might have enough product, but can you support them with marketing and promotions and demos? You don't want your product, like you said, you don't want your product to sit on the shelf. It's easy to get on the shelf. It's hard, much harder to get off.
Yeah.
So it was when I started dropping balls and seeing that I didn't have a handle on my business, and I felt like things were happening kind of out of my control. It was like this domino effect of things that I couldn't really have a handle on, whether it was the financial piece and I wasn't getting back to my bookkeeper in a timely manner, or you know, being on top of those new accounts. And that's when, you know, when you realize you just are not confident with the state of your business and how you're going to move forward in a healthy way that's focused on profitability instead of just top line revenue. You got to step back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I imagine just for our listeners who are like, well, I'm not dropping the ball. I'm not, you know, not supporting my accounts. Like, I'm just putting in that extra hour every afternoon. And like, yeah, I got it. I'll say that, you know, I see that hustle culture showing up in all different ways. So for you, Tanya, it was dropping balls. For other folks, it's dropping relationships or not feeling like, feeling like the people that you care about in life aren't getting, you know, a good version of you anymore. Or maybe it's your health that starts to suffer. I heard that, you know, you said that at the beginning, Tanya, or maybe it is that, you know, your numbers start to slip or whatever it is. So it can show up in many different ways. And Tanya, I'm so proud that you were able to recognize that in yourself and that you had the trust that you could make a shift and that it would still work out.
It's not easy. I will tell you, it's not easy. But you said something, Allie, a couple of years ago when I did a coaching session with you. I'll never forget it. Impacted me so much. When is enough? It's enough. Like, Tanya, it's enough. Because I think I was trying to add a newsletter and then, oh gosh, TikTok, I got to be on TikTok. And then I had to do all things. Like, and you would like look me in the eyes and you're like, no, Tanya, it's enough. And I really appreciated that. And I had to say that to myself recently is it enough. And it's hard to trust yourself. That's not easy. I'm a perfectionist too. And I would say, and I'm going to borrow this from Elliot Began because I heard this from him recently, is that possible is better than perfection, right? And before it was progress over perfection. Now let's just have, there's a possibility. Let's just do something possible. And that feels really good to me because there's less pressure. We put so much pressure on ourselves in this business, and so does the industry. I mean, it is really it's hard when you go to Expo West, you go to these shows and you see the shiny brands with all the things and they've got resources and lots of people and they look great and you compare yourself. And I'm not doing that anymore. I feel good about where I'm at, and I do have to celebrate my gains and my wins. And I'd never done that. I laughed at that before. And I really now, every day is like, okay, how can I make a little bit of progress over yesterday or the last week or last year?
I feel like that's a practice, right? To like sit down, slow down and recognize the wins. Yeah. Yeah, that in itself can really impact the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So you are enough, Tanya. You are doing enough, Tanya. And I'm not going to let us end this podcast episode before you tell us about the new thing that you're actually doing in your business. Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, well, this was part of my shift recently. I really wanted to go back to inspiring and educating people on food. And I decided to start a podcast. Also, one of those big fear things that you're like, how am I even qualified to do this? But there's nothing out there for what I was looking for. And the name of the podcast is Food Is. And you can put whatever you want in that. But basically the idea is to focus on really talking to stakeholders in food to have a meaningful impact on people going in and buying in the stores, like just everyday shopping. What do you wish you knew going into the stores? Because there's a lot of greenwashing going on in products. And I want to enlighten people on what is out there, whether it's ingredients, whether we're talking about science, whether we're talking about specific products and what they're doing great, and how to make choices at the shelf that are meaningful to you as an eater. Mm. So I'm leaning into that.
Yeah. And what I hear from you about this podcast and the decision to launch the podcast is that it is coming from I wish our listeners could hear this or see this gesture that I'm making, this expansive arm, you know, wide arm gesture here. Tanya, it's coming from a very different place than hustle and obligation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I reading that correctly?
100%. 100%. Yeah. Yep. And I first was doing it for me, and I still am doing it for me because it brings me joy to do it. And I don't know, I might have like two listeners. It might be my husband and my parents, but that's okay because it's something that brings me joy, balances out a lot of the challenges in this business, right? The everyday struggles. And if it's something that can actually have an impact and be positive in people's lives, that is a bonus. So that's what I'm going for.
Beautiful. All right. As we wrap up here, where can people find your new podcast, Food Is, and how can they keep in touch with you and Queen of Hearts?
Yeah. So the podcast is going to be on YouTube. It is going to be a video podcast. So that's always scary. That's even more vulnerable, but it'll be on most of the podcast channels. Actually, by the time this is broadcast, it will be out. And then other than that, you can find me at queenofhearts.com is our website. And then socials at Queen of Hearts Superfoods. And my email is really easy. It's Tanya@queenofhearts.com. So,
sweet. Yeah. Tanya, thank you so much for being here. And thank you for sharing so openly with our listeners. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Allie. You've been a really big help in this journey. So thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, my whizzes. What a great episode that was. Even though I have known Tanya for years and years and years, I feel like I learned a bit more about her in this show. I love seeing, you know, added dimension to her and her business. So thank you again, Tanya. So we know that being in business, especially as women, can be tough. Tanya's story is an example of what's possible when you stick to your values. When you identify your values, you identify your why, and you stick to doing you. So I'm curious which part of Tanya's story or her wisdom resonated with you most in this episode. So come connect with me on Instagram. Remember, we've got a new handle at FoodBizWiz, or find me on LinkedIn or both. Of course, find Tanya and Queen of Hearts and her new podcast, Food Is, on Instagram, LinkedIn, and that podcast info right here in the show notes. I'll say, when I was just starting the Food Biz Wiz podcast almost 5 years ago, the thing that made the biggest difference for me was people subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast. So I'm going to ask for Tanya, if you enjoyed this podcast episode and the value that she gave you today, go and do her a favor. Check out her podcast, rate, review, and subscribe. You'll find it linked in the show notes. All right, my whizzes, have a good one, and we'll see you right back here next week. Thanks for listening to Food Biz Wiz. If you're enjoying this podcast and the tools it gives you for growing your packaged product business, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. From one small business owner to another, I am deeply grateful for your support of this podcast, and I appreciate it when you share it with your fellow food founders, share it on social media, or leave me a review on your listening platform. Ready for more? Find out how we can work together at foodbizwiz.com. I'll see you right back here next week.